Shir HaShirim. It's an outstanding, outstanding work. But first you have to know the text of Shir HaShirim. So now, we're going to do something a little strange. You have this, it's, by the way, it's three sheets you have together, and turn over to the back. I'm starting from the back. I found in a sefer, and just take a moment, what's so special about learning or saying Shir HaShirim? Maybe this will encourage you a little bit. And there's a list, Gulotei HaShel Megillot, Megillat Shir HaShirim, there's certain, something very special, treasured aspects of Shir HaShirim. First, they bring the Gemara that says somebody who sees Shir HaShirim in a dream should look forward to great piety. Now, you don't see Shir HaShirim in a dream unless you say Shir HaShirim, you think Shir HaShirim, you become totally immersed in Shir HaShirim. The second is that a lot of this is very esoteric, and of course, as we get into Shir HaShirim, you'll see why. Through Shir HaShirim, Mashlech Ha'odam Yolav Zuhamat HaNachash, the impurities that came upon mankind because of the first serpent, there's a certain evil that entered into man, and that's cleansed by saying Shir HaShirim, and a person is able to understand on an even deeper level the wisdom of Torah. Now the next one is very important. Somebody who needs a shidduch and reads Shir HaShirim 40 days in a row with kavana stands a far, far better chance of getting a proper zivug. You know, they say about going to the Kotel for 40 days in a row. I think that saying Shir HaShirim 40 days in a row may even be, easier. Not everybody can get to the Kotel every day. Kol HaKoro B'Kavona B'Shabbos. Anybody who reads Shir HaShirim and knows what they're talking about, on Shabbos, Nitzo Midino Shel Gehenim, is saved from Gehenim. That's it. Shir HaShirim will stand there and protect one from the punishment of Gehenim. V'shamanu mipi zikna Yerushalayim, we heard from the elders of Yerushalayim, shekriyas Shir HaShirim skulu l'refuah. Somebody needs a refuah, somebody is ill, and when you say it for a chola, kishimavakshim al chola, you're praying for a refuah for somebody, then the elders of Yerushalayim said the way to do it is to say Shir HaShirim and pray for somebody's good health. V'hosef b'likutei Moharan, in the collected writings of Moharan, Moharan is Rav Nachman Mibreslov. Rav Nachman Mibreslov writes, Ki kol harefuas klulim b'shir HaShirim, the refuah, the healing of all illnesses, finds its source in Shir HaShirim. V'odev sheyomru kodem or hayom avuro tochola. Rav Nachman Mibreslov said to say it before dawn and have in mind for a particular chola can be of great aid and assistance. Kol adam sheyomer Shir HaShirim b'chol erev Shabbos kodesh b'ne'imo b'zimra. Any person who says Shir HaShirim every erev Shabbos with sweetly and with song, is guaranteed that all of the averis that he did during the week are going to be forgiven, atoned for. Habikubalim, those who study Kabbalah, we're talking about real mikubalim. We're not talking about the mudder, the style of everybody. Everybody all of a sudden has become a big expert on Kabbalah. You understand? The Mekubalim would say Shir HaShirim before they began to study the secrets of Torah. V'zot machmat sheskulato lefkoach et ha'inayim b'havana sisrei Torah, because Shir HaShirim has the property that it opens up one's eyes so that one can understand the secrets of Torah. So in other words, it means for a chole it's good, for a zivug it's good, forgiveness from sin. I mean, that there's so much that is included in this Shir HaShirim. So, I mean, my My job over here is to, over the next few weeks, give you entree into Shir HaShirim, and then, you know, you start saying it. As I started a few months ago learning it, and I said it and said it, and all of a sudden, huh? What's the difference? I can't. That's too much for me. I can't answer. That's beyond my my ability. I understand what you're asking. You're asking that, you know, for a chayla you say tilim. For it, so it seems that this is already in the world of the esoteric and the hidden. I can't. That's for sure. That's for sure. In other words, nobody ever said that that we just set Tillam aside. But there's something beautiful. Maybe there is something beautiful about trying to have Shabbos ready 10-15 minutes early and before candle lighting, or immediately after candle lighting. In Yerushalayim, we have a lot of time after candle lighting. In Yerushalayim, right after candle lighting, everything is ready. The chicken is on the platter, the soup is chreis, everything's ready. And you sit down and say Shir HaShirim, and then go to shul, or, you know, yes. Very good, very. I'll tell you what she asked. The Gemara says terrible things about somebody who uses the words of Shir HaShirim as a song, makes a song out of it, because that is destructive. And you know when you're going to understand that? After this shir, and maybe after the shir following, you will understand what the significance of Shir HaShirim is. Any thought of using it in some kind of a secular way, or something that is not truly sacred, is an absolute destruction, a destruction of the whole significance of Shir HaShirim. And anybody who does that is treading on very dangerous ground. When it's said over here to say it b'ne'ima u'bezimra, it means to sing it beautifully, not just say Shir HaShirim. You should get rid of Shir HaShirim. To sing it, not to say it as though it's something burdensome that you just want to get it over with. And it can be very beautiful. That's my task. That's my charge. I better succeed. Now, let's go to... Now, you have to follow me. Turn over this page, the back page, and we're going to what says page number 4. You'll see it says number 4. All right? Number 4. All right, so you have to understand that there are certain similarities between Megillat Shir HaShirim and Megillat Esther. Some of these similarities are only ostensibly so. We will see not really so. Megillat Esther does not have the name of God. You're going to go through Shir HaShirim, and looking at it superficially, there is no name of God in Shir HaShirim. One can make the absolutely tragic mistake of thinking that Megillat Esther is a very beautiful love story. King falls in love with a beautiful Esther, and therefore Esther with her beauty is able to save the Jewish people, and everybody lives happily ever after. Of course, which would be completely destructive of Megillat Esther. Neither one of the two are love stories in the way in which we normally see it, but I'd say the following. We're going to see right away that, listen carefully, Megillat Esther, God's name does not appear there. But you know what our job is? Our job is to find God in Megillat Esther. Our task is to be Megalet, to reveal the hidden one who stands behind all of the events of Megillat Esther. the one who's moving everything, the one who is determining what's going to happen, the one who is not only the prime mover and the creator, he is the one who is also involved in Jewish history. And everything that takes place in Megillat Esther, God is hovering over it. And because of that, we have to find God in Megillat Esther. And therefore it's called Megillat Esther. Megillat Esther means to reveal that which is hidden. And when we realize that it is God who is the prime mover and actor in Megillat Esther, then of course there's a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Chanukah and Purim is Pirsumei Nisa, to make known that a miracle has taken place, a miracle which is the act of God. In Sefer Shir HaShirim, in that Megillah, it's God who seeks out the Jewish people and the Jewish people who seek out God. They are both moving in the direction toward each other. The first part of this year is going to be dedicated to one idea. And we'll see at the bottom there's a footnote from a powerful, powerful essay of Rav Soloveitchik called Ubikashta Misham. And it's based on these two Rambams. The Rav is going to come to a point where he says, in Shir HaShirim, there is no Pshuto Shel Mikra. I'll explain. In all of Tanakh, there is the simple meaning of the text, and then there's the allegory. In Shir HaShirim, you know, what does it represent? What does it mean? What's it trying to tell us? And Rashi throughout Chumash will always tell you, Vani lo bati ela lefarish, I've come to explain Pshuto Shel Mikra. The simple meaning of the text has to have real, real significant meaning. And in addition to that, there are all sorts of other meanings that the Torah Shabbat Peh, the oral law, tells us is involved in each one of these psukim. The Rav is going to say, in Shir HaShirim, there is no Pshuto Shel Mikra. Sure, it's a story. It's a story of the love between a king in Yerushalayim and a girl from Ein Gedi, or a shepherd and his beloved. But that's not the story. That's not the story. There is no such story. What it really is the yearning and the longing and the profound love of God for the Jewish people and the Jewish people for God. And this relationship is going to have its ups and its downs. There are going to be times in history where there is a distance between God and the Jewish people. There are moments at which we will feel a closeness to Him. That's the whole story of Shir HaShirim. There is no Pshuto Shel Mikra. Now watch. Rambam number one. The Rambam is at the end of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam says, Ha'oved Mi'ahava, there's a mitzvah of Yahavta et Hashem Elokecha, love God your God. How do you serve God with love? You know how you do it. How do you do it? Oseh betoro b'mitzvahs v'holeich b'netivot ha'chochma, is a person who's involved in Torah and performs mitzvahs, and he goes in the way of wisdom. Lo mipnei dover ba'olam. There is no ulterior motive at all in the world. Lo mipnei yirat ha'ra'a, not because he's afraid of evil that will befall him. Lo kidei lirosh ha'tova, and not so that he should inherit goodness and blessing from God. Ela osa ha'emet mipnei shehi emet. Real love is when one does that which is true because it is true. And that's the only reason why. V'sof ha'tova lavo b'glolo. The end is that good will come upon this person because of it. Umala zuhi mala gedolam yo. This level is a very great level. V'ein kol chochom zokola. Not all wise men are able to achieve this level. That was the level to which Avraham Avinu was able to achieve. God calls him Ohavi, the one who loves me. Because he served God only out of love. This is the level that God commanded us through Moshe, Shenema, in Shema, we are haftat Hashem alakecha, you should love God your God. Ubizman, sheyeh, avodah, not Hashem, at a time when a man is going to love God, avaharuya, proper love, miyad yaseh kola mitzvahs me'avah, he is going to do all of the mitzvahs out of love. By the way, the Rambam was also in this halacha, the Rambam was also explaining a question that is asked by all of the Rishonim. Ava is an emotion. How do you legislate emotion? Love. Alright, we've now legislated, we've made it a law, love God, and therefore all of a sudden you love God. No, the Rambam at the very beginning of the halacha said, Ha'oved me'ava, the one who serves God out of love, is oseg b'Torah u'b'mitzvos. He's going to study Torah, he's going to perform mitzvahs, he's going to go in the ways of wisdom. And the end is, that's what will ultimately come. In other words, there has to be something real by which this emotion begins to develop, this feeling of Avat Hashem. The Ketzad he, now, next halacha, listen carefully. The Ketzad he ha'ava ruya, what is proper love? Hu sheyohav et Hashem ava gedola yeteira azami, oh, that one should love God, a great, powerful, mighty love. Until his soul is completely bound up with the love of God, and he thinks about it constantly, like he is absolutely sick with love. And here he's giving us the example. If you want to know what is the level of love for God that man should achieve, is like one who is lovesick, shein dato pnuya me avat ota isha, that a person's mind is not clear or free at any moment from love for that woman whom he is in love with. Vuhu shoge bel tamid, and he thinks about it constantly. Bein b'shifto, bein b'kumo, when he sits, when he gets up, bein b'shoshuhu ochel vuhu shota, while he's eating and he's drinking. Yet hemizeh, even more than that powerful love of a man for a woman, tia avat Hashem, b'leiv ohavav shogim batamid. The love of God should be the love that is in one's heart constantly, kimoshit zivonu. The Rambam now gives us the next part of the pasuk. In the halacha, before he talked about the first part of the pasuk, v'yohavta et Hashem elokecha, you should love God your God. Now he says, to what extent? To what extent? Kemoshet Sivanu, as we were commanded, b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha, with your whole heart and with your whole soul. V'hu shishloma omar derech mashal. Here the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva is going to introduce us to Shir HaShirim. He says, this Avat Hashem that is so powerful and so mighty, that's exactly what Shlomo HaMelech was talking about in Shir HaShirim. That's what Shlomo said. I am sick with love. All of Shir HaShirim is an allegory for this love. That's what it's talking about. There is no love between we're not talking about a king and a shepherd girl from Ein Gedi. We are talking about the love of God for the Jewish people. And by the way, it's both ways. Not only our Ahava. Remember, God loves us too. At some other place, the Rav begins to list all the places in Torah where it says, Va'ahevcha, God loved you, Uveirachecha, and he blessed you. God loves the stranger, Ohev Ger. And then he says, take a look, in davening, every morning, before Kriyat Shema, Ava Rabba Ahavtanu, great love, you loved us. Baruch Atah Hashem, Habocher Bi'amo Yisrael Bi'ahava. God chose the Jewish people with great love. There's a great love affair between God and the Jewish people, and it's supposed to work both ways. But like any love, there are moments of great peak in exhilaration, and then there are moments at which there's a distance. Something happens, and the relationship is ruptured. There's something goes wrong, and that's the whole story of Shir HaShirim. Now, the next halacha, different Rambam, and this Rambam is the one that's going to define for us Shir HaShirim. When Rabbi Akiva said, and we're going to get to Rabbi Akiva again. We talked in the last year. We talked about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one who says, "Kol Hashidim Kodesh." The Shir Hashirim Kodesh Kodoshim, all the songs and poems that were written to God are holy, but Shir Hashirim is the holy of holy. And you will recall that we said the person most able to define for us the sanctity and greatness of Shir Hashirim was Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva is the one who experienced all the loves outstanding and exceptional levels, from his love for his wife Rachel, his love for Am Yisrael. He was the one who led the Jewish people against Rome, and he is the one who says "V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha ze klal gadol b'Torah." He's the one who said that the great law of Torah is love your friend like yourself. And then ultimately, of course, as Rabbi Akiva is being put to death by Rome, so he says, "Kol yamai hayisi mitzdar al pasuk zeh." My whole life, I was in pain about this pasuk. "V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha." Masai, when will this pasuk come my way, and I will be able to fulfill it fully? And here it is, as they are putting him to death. Yotzo nishmaso, the Gemara says, his life left him when he said the word echad. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Rabbi Akiva is the prime example of what love on every level means. Now, next halach. Kol Hashemot Hamunim BeAvram Kodesh. Wherever you have the name of God, Adoshem Hashem, it's always holy. It's a real name of God. Now, remember, when we say that something is the name of God, that means a sofer, before he writes it, has to have in mind that he is writing this word, L'shem Kedushas, for the sanctity of the holy name. It means, of course, that there's a terrible avera to erase. You can't erase the name of God. And over here, why does the Rambam tell us about all the names of God that appear by Avram? Avzeh Shenemar, also the one that says at the beginning of Parshat Vayera, beginning of Parshat Vayera, Avram is sitting at the opening to his tent at the heat of the day, and he sees three barefoot travelers out there, and he goes, he wants to go run to invite them in. So he says, "Hashem imno matzosi kein bi'avdecha." Now, I said that first word as Hashem. It could have been understood that he is speaking to the three people whom he wants to invite in, and he says to them, "If I found favor in your eyes, can you please come into my house?" Or it could be understood that he is telling God, "God, I want to go and bring those guests into the house," and God is already in his tent visiting him. So he says, "Hashem, please, if I found favor in your eyes, just wait a minute. I want to go bring them into the house." So there are two ways to learn that pasuk. Either that the word is my master, Adoni, my master, one of the three barefoot Bedouin out there, or it means Hashem. So the Rambam is saying that Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud over there is Kodesh. Make no mistake. It's a holy name of God. It has to be written with intent for the name of God. All right. Kol Hashemos Hamurim Belot. There are all sorts of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yuds that are written by Lot. All of them are Chol. All of them are not sacred. They do not refer to God. They refer to the angels. He's talking to the angels who've come to visit. It's not God. Chutz Mizeh, except one place Vayomer Lot Aleihem, Al Na Hashem. Lot said to them, Al Na Hashem, and he really is referring to God. God, please, please, oh God. Hineinu Matzo Avdacha Chen, your servant has found favor, and therefore I beg of you, L'Hachayot Et Nafshi, to keep me alive. Kol Hashemot Hamurim B'Givat Binyamin Kodesh. It's another part of Tanakh. The names of God in Givat Binyamin, HaKodesh, Kol HaShemes HaMurim, B'Micha, Achol, these are both at the end of Sefer Shoftim, when it talks about God by Micha. Micha was the one who had an idol, Pesel Micha, so it's called. Kol HaShemes HaMurim, B'Novos, by Novot HaYisraeli, it's Kodesh. Now the Rambam comes to the point. Kol Shlomo Ha'omo B'Shir HaShirim Kodesh. Every time it says Shlomo in Shir HaShirim, it's Kodesh. It's as though it says Yud Kei Vav Kei. The sofer who writes it has to have in mind that this is a holy name of God. In other words, you know where the Rambam is taking us? And this is how the Rav is going to understand it, or Soloveitcher is going to understand it. There's no allegory. There's no pshuto shel mikra. Pshuto shel mikra, the simple meaning of the text, we're talking about Shlomo HaMelech. And then there's an allegorical interpretation that means God. No. When it says Shlomo, it means God. That name is a holy name. You can't erase it. Shlomo. Wherever it says Shlomo in Shir HaShirim, it refers to God. Not to King Shlomo. Kol Shlomo Ha'omer B'Shir HaShirim Kodesh. Vareyu Kishar HaKinuyim. It is like all of the other names of God. Chutz Mizeh, except one. There's one Shlomo in Shir HaShirim that is not Kodesh. It's called Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo. We'll get to that pasuk one of these days. Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo. It's talking over there indeed about the marriage. The marriage of Shlomo, and that there are all sorts of thousands of people around him. Kol Malchayo Ha'omer B'Daniel Chol in Sefer Daniel, where it says Malchayo the king, it's Chol, it's not Kodesh. Chutz Mizeh, except in one place it says Ant Malko Melech Malchayo, you king of all kings. V'Hareyu Kishara Kinuim, it's like all of the other names of God. Alright. So now once we have established this, so we know from one halach in the Rambam, we know that all of Shir HaShirim is talking about the love for God and the love of God for the Jewish people. Wherever it says Shlomo, that means that Megillat Shir HaShirim is not like Megillat Esther. In Megillat Esther, there is no word in Megillat Esther that means God that is holy. We have to find God in there. We have to seek God. In Shir HaShirim, He is there. So it's holy. The Rav in this footnote over there gives a very fascinating example. He says that you can't read Shir HaShirim in the simple meaning of the text. There is no simple meaning of the text. There's only the profound allegorical meaning. And he gives a beautiful example. Ayin tachat ayin. The Torah says an eye for an eye. Are there two meanings to eye for an eye? Does eye for an eye mean, yeah, eye for an eye? Or it means you pay the value of an eye for an eye. There are no two meanings. Ayin tachat ayin, shen tachat shen, yad tachat yad, regel tachat, has only one meaning. The value of an eye for an eye. There is no conceivable, possible way at all to learn pshuto shel mikra. It says, yeah, you know, an eye for an eye. So too, Shir HaShirim cannot be understood in any way except for the allegory. The allegory is the real meaning of Shir HaShirim. It's not like some kind of a love story that, it is a love story and now we interpret it that way. No, the interpretation is the story. There is no other story. you know what? It looks a little formidable, that footnote. You know what? Let's go on a little journey. You know, let's be brave, bold. Just follow me. And this is a footnote. A footnote at the end of a powerful philosophical essay called Ubikashtem Mishom, and you will seek God out from there. HaTorah Kodesh Kadoshim, the description, Holy of Holies, Asher Bo Mishtamsha HaMishnah B'Mesechet Yadayim, it's a Mishnah in Mesechet Yadayim that the Mishnah refers to Shir HaShirim as Kodesh Kadoshim. And there he has the quote from the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, Chas v'shalom, God forbid, lo nechlak odom Yisrael al shir ha-shirim, she'in kol olam kulo kedai kiyom, she'nitam bo shir ha-shirim li-Yisrael. There was somebody in the Mishnah that wanted to say that maybe shir ha-shirim is not Kodesh. Rabbi Akiva says, God forbid, there never was a disagreement amongst the scholars of Israel about shir ha-shirim. The whole world was worth only for the writing of Shir HaShirim, the day that Shir HaShirim was given to the Jewish people. Ki kol HaShirim Kodesh, it is Rabbi Akiva who says, all of the songs are holy, v'Shir HaShirim Kodesh Kadoshim. Mechuvan klapi simliyuto elokit hametu'eret bo, that means, he is saying, that its intent is the divine understanding of the Megillah. Peram, he says, this statement that it's Kodesh Kadoshim is expressing a halachic principle. And the halachic principle is Megillah zu lo nitna litparesh kepshuta. This Megillah cannot be explained in the simple terms of the text. Can't be. There is no such thing. It's all the allegory. B'chol ha-Torah kula, in all the rest of Torah, mutolanu lefaresh et ha-psukim ben kemed rasham ben kepshutam, all the other psukim in Torah, nearly, you can explain them either according to the simple meaning or according to the homiletic midrashic meaning. Pshuto shemikra, classic brisk. Pshuto shemikra, the simple meaning of a text, is a heftzah shel Torah. That is Torah. All over, except one place. Shir HaShirim. B'Shir HaShirim nitma'et ha-pshat ha-miluli mechalot shem Torah. Oh boy, is this brisker terminology. In Shir HaShirim, the halacha is saying that Shir HaShirim is removed from pshuto shel mikra, the simple meaning of the text. The simple meaning of the text is a chilul, a desecration of the Kodesh HaKodoshim, the Holy of Holies, that is Shir HaShirim. And therefore he goes on to say, Kol HaMevayer Megillah Zu, anybody who explains this Megillah al-Pi Pshutam Shel HaKsuvim, according to the simple meaning of the words, B'yachas La'ahava B'sachit, relating to love of flesh and blood, Mechalel Kedushatam, this desecrates the holiness of Shir HaShirim, V'kofer B'Torah Shabal Peh, and he has rejected Torah Shabal Peh. Because Torah Shabal Peh says that it's Kodesh Kadoshim, Torah Shabal Peh says that this is the story of God and Israel's love for one another. That's the only meaning that the Pasuk has. It has no other meaning. All right, and then the Rambam is going to go on and say that, well, there are certain psukim in Torah about which there never was disagreement. For example, Pri Eitz Hadar, on the first day of Sukkot, you're supposed to take Pri Eitz Hadar. There was never a doubt in anybody's mind what that Pri Eitz Hadar is. It was an esrig. It is an esrig. It will continue to be an esrig. And then he also brings the example, of course, of ayin tachat ayin. Ayin tachat ayin. There are certain psukim that simply cannot mean what the simple words mean. Because pre-Eitz Hadar would mean the fruit of any beautiful tree. The fruit of any beautiful tree. People can come into shul on the first day of Sukkot, I don't know, with oranges, with apples, with kiwis, Pri Eitz Hadar. No. Never was there any kind of a disagreement of that sort. It was always an Esrig, and always will be an Esrig. See, the Chav is saying, there is no Pshuto Shel Mikra in Shir Hashir. Like, an eye for an eye. An eye for an eye. Alright. Okay. Now we got that done. Now, we're going back. Now we're going to page one. Everybody and anybody who deals with Shir Hashirim always begins with Rashi's introduction. Now, I really don't know of any other sefer that Rashi wrote an introduction to the sefer. I gave a shir earlier this year where I tried to turn the first Rashi in Chumash into some kind of an introduction to an understanding of all of Torah. It was not a bad shir. I'm interpreting the first Rashi in Chumash as being Rashi's introduction to his commentary. Here Rashi did indeed write an introduction. There's an English translation of most of it, or the gist of it down there, but you have to learn through this Rashi. Anybody who's dealt with it, Yehuda Felix has the Perush Rashi over there. The Das Mikra of Mosad Hav Kook has Rashi at the top of the page, and anything else is down at the bottom. Everything begins and ends with Rashi. And watch, Rashi is going to be very fascinating. You know why Rashi is going to be fascinating? Rashi is the one who throughout Torah says, Ani lo basi ela lefadish pshuto shemikra. I am the one who comes to explain the simple meaning of the text. Rashi is going to make an about face over here, and I think that's why he had to write the introduction. In addition to the fact that he's going to give us an outline of all of Shir Hashirim. It's worthwhile going through this and knowing it. There it begins. Achaz diber Elokim, shtayim zu shamati. I'll tell you at what point the English translation begins. Rashi begins by saying, God said one thing, I heard two. Mikro echod yotze lekamotam. And the Gemara learns from this that there's one pasuk, and the one pasuk has many meanings. Mikro echod yotze lekamotam. Rashi says this very often. There's a Gemara that says shivim panel haTorah. There are 70 approaches to Torah. A pasuk can be understood in more than one way. V'sof davar ein lecha mikro yotze midei pshuto. Umashmo. The end is, of course, regardless of all the meanings that a pasuk has, the end is Ein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto Umashmo. A pasuk has its simple textual meaning. Ve'afal pi shedivru hanevi'im divrei'im bedugma tzorech liyashiv hadugma al ofneha v'al sidra. Even though, of course, the nevi'im spoke either in parables or allegories, so, you know, it can be a bit difficult to understand the text, but he still says we have a responsibility to see how the psukim flow in order one after another. There has to be some kind of an inner structure. Kamosh hamakros dudim zeachazeh, as the psukim are organized one after another. V'ro'isi la'sefer azeh kamen midrashei agadah, and I saw many different medrashim about this sefer Shir Hashirim, and there's tremendous amount of medrash on it. Yes, so didn't call our sefer as there medrash echon. There are those who organize the sefer according to one understanding, v'yesh mefuzorim b'kama medrashei agadah, and there are other interpretations that are spread out in different medrashim. V'yesh mikraot levadam, and then there are psukim that sort of have a meaning of their own, but they're not connected with the pasuk before and the pasuk after. Rashi will not accept that. Ve'einim mityashvim aloshen hamikra v'seder hamikros, and you can't figure out where the order of this pasuk appears. It doesn't flow. Va'amarti v'libi. I said to myself, litfos mashma'ot ha-mikra, liyashev be'urim al sidram. I decided that what I was going to do is that I was going to accept the understanding of the pasuk and to explain it al sidram in order. They have the psukim have to go in order. V'hamedrashos mirabu seinu, and the medrash of our rabbis, ekveim medrash medrash. I will establish each medrash in his place. Ish ish b'mekomo, each one in his place. V'omer ani. Here begins. This, from here on and further, the English translation fits to this. V'omer ani. Rashi says, I say the following. Shirosh Shlomo Baruch HaKodesh. Shlomo HaMelech saw through the Holy Spirit Shasidin Yisrael Liglod Golah Har Golah, that Israel is going to go into exile after exile. Churban Acha Churban, there will be one destruction following another destruction. Ula it onen begalud zeh al kvodam harishon, and that they are going to lament when they find themselves in Golos, and they're going to be looking back to their original glory, the glory of being with God in the desert, being with God in Eretz Yisrael, Bet HaMikdash. They are going to look back and they're going to lament about their first honor, V'lizkor Chibar Rishona. They're going to remember that first great burst of love from God to the Jewish people, Asher Hayu Skula Lo Mikol HaAmim, when we were his treasure from all amongst all of the people of the world, when he brought us to Sinai, and to us alone, he appeared and gave us Torah. And you know what we're going to say when we find ourselves in those difficult decisions, difficult periods of time, so distant from God? You know what we're going to say? El Chova Shuva El Ish Yadishan. I want to go back to my first husband, Ki Tov Li Oz Me'ata, because it was better for me then than it is now. The Jewish people are going to remember the kindness of God, and the sins that they sinned against him, they're betraying him. They're going to remember all the great good that God has promised to the Jewish people at the end of days. Established this book with the Holy Spirit. Bilishon, the terminology that he uses is Isha Tzerura Almenut Chayot, a woman who's caught up being a living widow. A living widow means that her husband is alive, but they're distant from one another. He cannot use the term divorce because the Navi says, Eze Sefer Krisus. Yeshayahu says, when did I ever give a get to the Jewish people? We are distant from God, but it's like a widow whose husband is alive. Mishtokeket al bala, mitrapeket al doda. She yearns for her husband. She looks forward to her beloved. Maskeret avat nu'udel. She reminds herself of that early love of youth. Her love for him, umoda al pisha, and she admits that she made mistakes, she sinned. And you know what? The other side is also true. Avdoda, the lover, avdoda tsarlo bitsarasa, he feels great pain in her pain. And that's going to be a very significant theme in Shir HaShirim. Similar to the idea that expressed in the Gemara that says Kol Makom Shegolu, wherever Jews went into exile, Gol Soshkino Imahem, the divine presence is there with them, and when they come back, God comes back with them. This is a theme, in fact, that begins in Torah and continues through the Nevi'im, and that's one of the units. One shir will be dedicated in Yetzer Hashem to them. So he's also in great pain. Umazkir chazdei ni'ureha, and he remembers the great things that she did in her youth, as Rashi is sort of bringing us to the famous pasuk Zacharti lach, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Zacharti lach chesed miurayich, ahavat kilulotayich. I remember the kindness of your youth, the love of our marriage, lechteich acharay bamidbar be'eretz lo zerua, when you followed me into the desert, into a land that was not planted. V'chishron pa'aleha, he remembers the great talent of her performance of mitzvahs. Asher behem nikshari ma bi'avaza, because of what they did, he became bound up with her in such mighty love. Laudia, and you know what he wants to tell her? Ki lo mi libo ina. It is not from his heart that the pain has been caused to her. Velo shilucheo shiluchin. The fact that he sent them out into exile is not like sending her away forever. Ki odhi ishto, she is still his wife, vuhu isha, and he is her husband, vuhu atid lashuv eleha, and he's going to return to her. That's the story. That's the story. There can be a lot of details in this story. There can be a lot of powerful, powerful sentences in this story. And there's a great perish of the Hamikdava, there are others, but we're going to stick to Rashi. Rashi is the most powerful of them all. Yes? That's not bad. You know, I like that. She says that this is a response to Christian claims that they replaced us. And Shir HaShirim is saying that the love of God for the Jewish people is eternal, and that he osid lashuv eileha, he is going to return to her. All right? So you know what? If the 3 weeks already, Dafman Len and Shir HaShirim, even though in our first year we learned about 10 psukim in Shir HaShirim. Ani Yishenov Lipi Er, Kol Dodi Dofeik, you remember? All right, so don't think that I didn't learn any psukim. And we learned those great 10 psukim as they were understood by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzari, and by Rav Soloveitchik in his great, powerful essay, Kol Toti Dofek. So we've already learned psukim in Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim Asher LeShlomo, first pasuk, the Song of Songs, written by Shlomo. Down at the bottom, Rashi. Shonu Rabuteinu Zal. We're not going to learn all the Rashis, but some of them have to be learned. Shonu Rabuteinu Zal, our rabbis of blessed memory learned Kol Shlomo Amudim B'Shir HaShirim Kodesh. This you already know. We learned the halach in the Rambam. Rashi says it every time it says Shlomo in Shir HaShirim. It's holy, and the meaning of Shlomo is Melech Shehasholom Shelo, the king that peace is his. I mean, I have a feeling what it means is that anybody who thinks that they're going to make peace without God is making a terrible mistake. Oseh Shalom Bimromav, who Yaseh Shalom Aleinu? The one who makes peace above, he will make peace below. Or better, Hashem owes Liamo Yitain. God will give his people strength. Hashem Yivarech, God will bless his people with peace. By the way, there will be no peace unless the Jewish people are strong. If we're not strong, there's no peace. That wasn't a political comment. That was a pasuk. All right? Shir Shehu, Rashi goes on to say, Shir Shehu, I'll call Hashirim, the song that is greater than all the songs, Hashenem al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest song that was said to God from his community, Me'et Adato V'Amo Knesset Yisrael, from his people, Knesset Yisrael, Om Rabbi Akiva, Lo Hoya Olam Kedai, next column, Ki Yom Shenita Bo Shir Hashirim Yisrael, Shekol HaKzuvim Kodesh, Shir Hashirim Kodesh Kodashim. This is a Mishnah. We learned the Mishnah in the words of the Rav. All the songs are Kodesh, Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kodashim. Om Rabbi Lozva Nazariah, Rabbi Lozva Nazariah said, Lama Adava Domu, what is this comparable to? Lemelech Shinot Al Soch Hitim, a king who took a measure of grain, and he gave them lenachtom to a baker, and he told them, Hotzili kach v'kach solas, I want you to take so much fine flour out of this. Kach v'kach subin, so much and so much chef or bran. Kach v'kach mursin, in other words, we're going from the higher to the lower. Solet is the finest of the flour. And then there's also a bran, and there's chaff. The solisoli mitocha, and make for me gluska achas, one beautiful cake, menupa umu'ula, so carefully sieved and clean. Kach korak suvim kodesh, all of the writings, the holy writings are holy. The Shir Hashirim Kodesh Kadoshim, the Shir Hashirim is the Holy of Holies. Shekulo Yidas Shamayim V'Kibul Ol Malkusa. Do you hear what Rashi is saying? There is no love story here. There is no love story. It is all a song of Yidas Shamayim, fear of God, and Kibul Ol Malkuto, accepting the yoke of His kingdom. Yishakeni, the pasuk, I have the Rashi on one page, but the pasuk is on the other, and this gives you an entree into it. The pasuk is Yishakeni minishikot piu, let him kiss me from the kisses of his mouth, ki tovim dodecha miyoyin, because your love is better to me than wine. Back to Rashi on the first page. We'll learn this Rashi, and then we'll close for today. On page 1, the Rashi is down at the bottom of page 1. Yishakeni minishikos piu zehashir omedes befia begalusa ubalmanusa. Here you see Rashi beginning to interpret it as he outlined in his introduction. This song is being said by her with her mouth begaluta, while she is in exile, ubalmanuta, and when she is like a widow. Miiten, she is saying, Yishakeni Minishikos Piu, is she's learned yearning and she's longing. If only he would kiss me, if Miyitain Vishakeni Hamelech Shlomo, if only King Shlomo would kiss me, Minishikos Piu, from the kisses of his mouth, Kamo Meoz, as from before. Now remember, of course, Rashi has already told us when it says Shlomo Hamelech, it means God. We're not talking about the king of flesh and blood called Shlomo. Rashi says, "Lefi sheyesh mekomos, there are places shenoshkin al gabi ayad, that you kiss on the hand, v'ala katef, or on the shoulder. Achani mitaver, I desire v'shokeket, and I long lihiyot noheg imi kimin hagerishon, that he should conduct himself with me as he did at the very beginning. Kechosan el kala, like a chosan to his kala, per el per, where they kiss on the mouth." Because your love is better to me, mikol mishtayayin, from any great party of wine, or mikol oneg v'simcha, from any delight and joy. V'ulishon ivrihu, in Hebrew, the term liot kol sudas oneg v'simcha nikres hashem ayayin. Now, it's not saying that your love for me is better to me than wine, and understand it as a bottle of wine. Wine is a term that has a larger meaning, and the meaning of wine means a joyous, festive, happy occasion. So your love is greater to me than that. King and Shinema, El Beit Mishtei Hayayin, they came to the party of Achashverosh. Bashir, or another person, Bashir Lo Yishtu Yayin, the term yayin always describes a great festive and joyous event. Zehu biur mashmo. That's the textual meaning of the words. That's the textual meaning. The nema dugma shalo. And here Rashi says the allegory. Nema dugma shalo. Al shem shenosan lahem toroso. Do you know what the kiss of the mouth is? God spoke to us face to face. And He gave us His Torah. He gave us His Torah. That act of great love between the two of us, of Har Sinai, they are still sweeter, mikol shashua, from any joyous event, umuftachim meito, and we are promised by him lofia odalem. He promised us that he will appear to us again. Levaelhem minishikos piu means that he will one day explain to us all the secrets of Torah. Leviathan so tamel the secrets of its meaning, umistartsvunatel, and whatever is hidden in Torah, umichalim panav, and we are begging him, lekayem dvaro. We're begging of him, fulfill that which you said. Bring us back. Teach us Torah again. And then he says, v'zeh. That's what it means when it says, Yishokeini minishikos pihu, he shall kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Don't think we're talking about physical kisses. We're talking about a relationship of peh el peh, panim el panim, God communicating with us. The moment of greatest joy, which was when God appeared for one time on the face of this earth to his people at Sinai. That's what we are talking about over here. And then Rashi is going to take us step by step. First chapter is going to be, first and second chapters are really going to be talking about the relationship between God and Jewish people in Egypt. And then he's going to keep going. He's going to keep going through Bayit Rishon and Bayit Sheni. It's going to be a history of the relationship between God and the Jewish people. Its ups and its downs, its peaks and its valleys. They're going to be very, very fascinating things. I just hope I will succeed in getting you excited. I would suggest that it would be a very, very good idea if you can come find someplace in the house a Shir HaShirim with Rashi. You should have it. In addition to that, I suggest also that either before candle lighting, or maybe as I say here in Yerushalayim, right after candle lighting, say Shir HaShirim. All right?